is. If you would stand for the honor of reading God's word, we're going to read one verse of scripture in John, and then the text and the message is going to be in Luke. So if you have your Bible, I'd go ahead and turn to Luke 14 to prepare for the message. But I want to read John 6, 35, where it says, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not, and whoever believes in me shall never. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you today recognizing that you are the true bread from heaven. And that in you we are completely satisfied. That you are the water that never runs dry. The one that John, as he saw in the Revelation, he heard the voice say, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Those who are thirsty, come and take the water of life without cost. So Lord, today you invite us to sit at your table where we can experience all of the goodness of your grace. And I pray this morning that there's someone here today that does not know you. They've never experienced what it means to be saved and to have fellowship with you, that today you draw them to yourself. Lord, for those of us who know you, that we would continually eat at your table and experience your grace and live in your blessings. So Lord, help me to preach plain and clear. I do realize that there is a strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I do accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. How many of you all have family gatherings where you have Thanksgiving meals, Christmas holiday meals? How many of y'all have those? How many of y'all remember those as a kid, growing up as a kid, having those? And when it came time to eat, there would be a big table. How many of y'all remember the big table? It was the dining room table. And when you were a kid, guess what you didn't get to do? Sit at the table, right? That was for all the adults, and all the adults, and you were like, you sat maybe in a small table or on a couch or a chair or on the floor, you know. And how many of you all can remember as a kid looking at that big table and thinking, when am I going to get a seat at the big table? Anybody ever ask that question to themselves? Huh? Come on now. I know you all were thinking that. When is it going to be my turn to sit at the big table? How many of you, as you've grown older, you've gotten a chance to sit at the big table? Huh? Guys, said it's a bittersweet thing, isn't it? Sitting at the big table. Because if you once weren't able to sit at the big table, but now are, that means a couple things. That means you've gotten older, and some of the ones that you loved are no longer around the table. But there's just something special about sitting at the table with your family, when you're fellowshipping, when you're eating, right? Mike, you know the good thing about sitting at the table, because you made a table, you built a table big enough for the whole family to sit at, right? And so, but now if the family keeps growing, guess what you're going to have to do? You have to build on. And there's just something special about that table. You get to eat, you get to fellowship, you get to laugh, you get to tell jokes, and you just enjoy the presence of each other. Amen? How many of y'all remember that? How many of y'all experience that? How many of you all look forward to that? Well, can I tell you this morning that we have been invited to a table that is greater than any table we've ever sat down on. We have been invited by the Master himself, the King of heaven, to sit down at his table and to feast and sup with him. What do you think about that? And we can experience a blessing that Jesus has provided us called salvation. And it's a meal that we can enjoy now, forgiveness of sin, hope of everlasting life. But also there is a promise that there is going to be a reunion in heaven where we sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb and we eat and we feast together as children of God. I can't wait for that day. What about you? I hope that you'll be there, because here's the good news. He invites you to have a seat at the table. How many of y'all glad to know that God is going to make a way for you to have a seat at his table? Now, when Jesus was ministering in Luke chapter 14, we have Jesus being invited to a dinner by a religious Pharisee, a religious leader, someone that was in high standing, someone that was looked upon as someone who knew the Word of God, the Old Testament, and the teachings of the Messiah. And they're eating and they're fellowshipping, and Jesus kind of says some things to them, some teaching moments, some teachable moments. One thing he says is, when you have a dinner and you go to a dinner, don't go and take the best seat. You go and take the last seat. Because someone more important than you may come in, and then the guest, the host may come to you and say, excuse me, you're sitting in someone else's seat. I'm going to need you to go to the back. And that would be embarrassing. He said, but no, you go and you take a seat at the back. And then if the host comes and says, oh, I have a seat for you in the front, and then he will bring you to the front, then you'll be honored. Because, he says, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And they're like, whoa. And he says this. He says, now when you have a dinner, don't invite all of your friends and all the wealthy people who can invite you back over to their house and have a dinner. But when you have a dinner, you invite the poor, the weak, the lame, the blind. For they will not be able to repay you, and great will be your reward in the judgment of the just, of the righteous. And someone in there, they're hearing that, and I'm sure thinking that they're the humble person and thinking they're the one that would invite the poor, says, how blessed is it going to be for those who sit and eat in the kingdom of God. He's excited about that. I mean, he's hearing this about this dinner. And then Jesus tells this parable. It's found in Luke chapter 14, starting with verse 16. But he said to him, this is Jesus speaking, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servants to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field and I must go out to see it. Please have me excused. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and lame. And the servant said, sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. Now hear that. Jesus is giving us a parable about the kingdom of God. This is directed to the religious elite, those who thought that they were the chosen of God, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the members of the Sanhedrin court, the religious theologians of the day, who had figured out how God was working but yet missed the very God that was in their sight. They reject Jesus. Jesus said that he came into his own and his own received him not. But not all of the Jews rejected Jesus, for there were some who did. The disciples were Jewish. But then the overall rejection of the religious Orthodox Jews of their day, then the gospel went to the Gentiles. And so in this parable, we're going to see all three people in this parable that Jesus talks about. But not only will we see these three individual groups of people, but I want to ask us to examine ourselves and see where we might be in this story. Which ones do we fall in the category? What category are we in? Because we are told by Jesus that this is how the kingdom of heaven can be explained. It can be kind of pictured, can be imagined, is that this man threw this great feast, this great dinner, and it says he invited many. How many of y'all are glad to know that God invites many to come into the house and have a seat at the table? That God provided a food. And he said, go out and tell the guest. It was the customary practice that a first invitation would be sent out and say, hey, there's going to be a feast. You're going to come. There's going to be a feast. You're going to come. There's going to be a feast. You're going to come. Yes, yes, yes. We're going to have this. Now I know how to prepare. I'm going to prepare the meal. And he says, tell them, come, everything is now ready. Everything is now ready. So he sends them out and says, hey, it's ready. The food is hot. It's good. There's a lot. They got steak. They've got it served well. It's good. This is going to be a good meal. It's ready. Everything is now ready. They didn't have to do anything. All they had to do is come. There wasn't any dish that they needed to bring. It wasn't a potluck. It was a meal prepared by the host. There was nothing that they could add to. All they simply had to do was what? Come. Everything is now ready. Notice the order of things. God's grace comes first, amen? God invites us to his table, not requiring anything for us to do. Why? Because he's prepared it all. Jesus died for our sin according to Scripture, and he rose again on the third day. Jesus offers salvation for anyone who would come. You don't have to get cleaned up. You don't have to work your way to it. All you have to do is respond by faith, believe that Jesus died and rose again, confess it, believe it, and you will be saved. And so the invitation comes out to all people because it's ready. The dinner's ready, the table's ready, mercy is served, salvation is available, grace is here. Just come. That's all they had to do is come. But what happened in the story? They all began to make what? Excuses. Excuses. Have any of you all ever made an excuse to get out of doing something? Everybody better raise your hand. There is at some point you have not wanted to do something and you made an excuse. Excuses are like noses. Everybody what? Has got one. What's their excuses? Well, the first man says, oh, I bought a piece of property. I've got to go look at it. Would you go tell him, please have me excused? Now, either this guy just had all kinds of money, he didn't know what to do with it, or he was just making a poor excuse, because who goes out and buys a piece of property they've never seen before? What was it? It was a what? Just an excuse. The other guy says, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I've got to go test them out. Please have me excused. Well, that's just an excuse. Now, have any of y'all ever bought a used car before? How many of y'all have bought a used car? Raise your hand if you've ever bought a used car. Now, when you bought a used car and you went out to the lot, did you test drive it first? Huh? Did you make sure to test drive a used car? You better, right? You better make sure that you test drive. Nobody goes and buys a used car and never test drive it. Well, who goes and buys 5 yoke of oxen and then is going to test it out? You're going to check it out first before you make that investment. What was it? It was just an excuse. What was it? Why would they refuse the invitation? It's an excuse. Why do we make excuses? When we're invited somewhere and we don't go and we come up with an excuse, bottom line, why is it that we make up an excuse? Because we don't want to go to it, right? And we're trying to find a nice way to say no. Is that true? We try to make an excuse. So, if we really wanted to go, then guess what we'll do? We'll go. The other man said, I've gotten married. Got a wife. Now, can you believe that he just got a wife and she's already telling him what to do? You'd think it would take at least a year or two, right? But I mean, right off the bat, he's like, I've got a wife, I can't go. Now, that's just what? That was just an excuse. Now, there was something in the law that said if you had gotten married, you didn't have to go to war for a year so that you could enjoy the wife of your youth. But not a banquet. It's just what? An excuse. Excuses. Have y'all ever made an excuse for not wanting to do what God's told you to do? Huh? We make them up, don't we? We think we're clever. These guys thought they were clever, but they weren't. These were people who had an invitation. They were invited. And they said, I've got something better to do. I've got some earthly investments that I need to deal with. I've got to focus on the now. I don't have time to go to this dinner party because I've got some business moves to make. I got to work. I don't have time. I've got my obligations, and this is an inconvenience, so I'm going to make up an excuse so as I'm not going to go. How many of y'all have ever had excuses or have known some people that make excuses for not wanting to accept and believe in Jesus? Anybody ever make excuses for not coming to church? Have you ever invited someone? Maybe you had some excuses in your past that you used of why you didn't go to church. But if you've invited somebody to church, have you ever heard any excuses for people not coming to church? Anybody? Talk to me a little bit. Anybody? What's an excuse you hear of why somebody doesn't come to church? Couldn't get up too early. Well, thank the Lord, we have an 11 o'clock service. Amen. There we go. All right, so that excuse out the window. What else? What else do you hear? Some excuses why people don't come to church. Don't have anything to wear. Well, we just wear jeans here and a t-shirt, so come on out. It's their only day off. Oh, I would, they said, the preaching's too good. Is that what you said, Will? He loved the preacher too much, can't come. That's what Will said. I don't know. Some people might say they didn't like the preacher, but Will said it was probably because I'm too good. This is my only day off. How many of y'all heard that one? Because really, here's what excuses. What do excuses focus on? On yourself, right? When you make an excuse, you're really saying, I'm trying to figure out how I don't have to do something that I really don't want to do and invest my time in things that I like, that I want. That's what excuses are. And what's Jesus think about our excuses? None of them cut it. Please have me excused. What happened at the end of the story? Were they excused? Did they get an excused absence? No, they didn't. He said, all of those that have been invited, they won't be at my banquet. So he tells his servants, come in. I want you to go to the poor, the lame, the crippled, the blind. You go and invite them. You go and invite the folks that no one else will have a party for. You go and invite the folks that never get invited to the party. You go and invite the folks that will enjoy this food and will be glad to be invited, and you invite them. And that's what they did. The religious leaders, they rejected it. So what Jesus goes, he goes get some carpenters. He gets some fishermen. He gets some of the Jewish people that are seen as those who don't cut it to the level of the religious elite. He goes and gets them. And they are glad to sit at the table. Jesus said it this way one time. Those who are well don't need a physician. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He came for those who were sick and lame, and those who were poor and crippled. And where do you see yourself at? If you view your life as so important that you have to invest it in everything that you are concerned about, and your life revolves all around you, and you feel like you don't need anything, yeah, that table of God's grace, that might be good for some people, but I don't need it. You know, you don't eat unless you're hungry. And if you always satisfy yourself on fleshy things and you never see the need for God, you'll never call upon his name. You know, there's some people that believe that, you know, they're too intellectual, right? They don't need this God. They don't need this divine crutch to lean upon because, you know, they have their life all figured out. They don't need a God that's going to just give them a hope. And people give all kinds of excuses because they don't think that they're sick. Why do people not come to the table? They feel like they've got a better spread. They don't need God's food. They've got their own food. How many of y'all have ever bought insurance for anything? Anybody ever bought insurance? How many of y'all bought insurance? You probably bought insurance for multiple things, right? You got car insurance. You've got homeowner's insurance. How many of y'all have ever been asked to buy insurance for your TV? Anybody? Would you like the extended warranty on this, you know, insurance? And a lot of us, we buy insurance. Catch this. We buy insurance for things that are temporary. We will have enough forethought and we will plan to buy insurance for things that aren't going to last. Your home, well, something might happen to it. Yeah, it might happen to it, but also you're not going to live in it forever. And people will buy insurance for earthly things and forget to think about heavenly things. Y'all realize this? It's not if you're going to die, it's when you're going to die. How many of y'all have realized I am going to die, right? And some of us, as we begin to age and season a little bit, that reality becomes closer and closer. Amen? Huh? And, you know, if I live an average life, I'm in the midway third quarter of my life out of four quarters. But who knows? I could be nearing the end. Because I don't know when the last second is of my life. Do you? How many of y'all know when you're going to die? Nope. Could it be today? Could be. Could it be 10 years from now? Could be. Could it be next week? It could be. Here's what I'm going to ask you. Have you accepted the invitation to sit at the table of God and enjoy the grace and mercy and salvation so that when you die, you're guaranteed of a home in heaven? Do you know Jesus? Have you thought about that? Have you prepared for that? Or are you too busy in your own adventures? Thinking, I don't need God. I've got too much stuff to do. I've got my life to live. I don't have time to take and trust in him, follow him. Or have you heard that invitation of grace and you said, you know what? I'm that poor person. Man, I don't have a thing to add. I can't purchase my salvation. I am poor in spirit. And if God doesn't do something, I'm helpless. Have you recognized that you're sick and in need? That you're lame? That you're crippled? That you're blind by sin? And that we need the grace of God and we need to be saved and enter his kingdom? Have you heard the invitation to sit at his table and you thought, whew, that sounds like a good place to be. I want there. I want to be there. I want to feast there. I want to receive your mercy, God. I want to receive forgiveness, God. Have you received it? Amen. So he invites all the poor, the lame, the crippled, the blind. And it says there's still more room. Hey, remember what Peter says. God does not desire any to perish, but all to come to repentance. He's got a big table. And he has open seats. And so then he says, go out into the hedges and the highways. Go to the Gentiles. Go to everyone, every people, everywhere. Invite people to come in because I want my house to be full. How many of y'all are excited to know that you serve a God who wants his house to be full and every seat to be filled to enjoy the blessings and the bounty that he's provided? You talk about a harvest, there's your harvest. The harvest of God in heaven. And we get to enjoy his bounty, his blessing. And so he invites all the, and he compels them to come in. He says, compel them to come in. Now that doesn't mean force against the will, because we know we can't force anybody to believe in Jesus. If you force somebody to believe in Jesus, then that's not real, right? But the wooing of the Holy Spirit and the compelling of God's grace, when he begins to work in our heart and he begins to allow us to see the way God sees, to hear how God hears, and we begin to see that we're hopeless, that we're beggars, and we've been invited by the prince to come and sit at his table. We were unworthy. We didn't deserve it. There was no reason why he should have invited us, but he did. And we get to go to the greatest feast ever, and we just fall upon the mercy seat of God and say, thank you. And we just receive the invitation. Thank you. How many of y'all just need to say, God, thank you. Thank you. In fact, right now, like if you're a believer in Jesus, would you just say, thank you for saving me, Lord? Would you say that? Just say it. Thank you. Just thank you. If you've never trusted in Jesus, if you've never called upon his name, you need to say, thank you for inviting me, Lord. Thank you for inviting me because he invites you today to come and experience grace and mercy. To his love that knows no end, that loved you so much that the Bible says that God sent his one and only son to die so that whoever believes in him will not what? But have everlasting life. This morning, I don't know your heart. I don't know where you stand. I look and I say, I see all familiar faces, many of them. I know many of you have professed faith in Jesus. How many of y'all have ever pulled back from the table of God's grace? Anybody? Have any of y'all ever tried to start eating some of the world's food rather than what God has laid out for you? Any of y'all ever drink from the world's fountain rather than the pitcher of God's grace? How's that work out for you? Not good. Not good. Because see, God's table, his food is good. It brings true life. You know what the world's food brings? Heartache, death, shame, brokenness. I don't get it. It's a strange thing, you know. We look at God's grace and mercy, and we're like, we've experienced it. We've tasted it. It's good. But the world looks at the table of God's grace and says, don't need it, right? Some of you this morning may even be hearing this message and thinking about the table of God's grace and say, you know, I don't need that. That food is not for me. I'm going to have it my way. They'd rather have Burger King than God's grace, right? Burger King, you know Burger King. They'll let you have it what? Your way. You know what happens when you have it your way? It's messed up. It leads to death. Have you noticed that? How many of y'all noticed that when you have it your way, it doesn't work out? Anybody? Anybody come to that conclusion yet? How many of y'all have realized when you do it God's way, it's better? Is it not better? Amen. Now, why does the world detest the table of God so much? I don't get it, do you? I don't get it. It blows my mind to think that when we have a table spread of God's goodness and we live according to his plan, man, it just works. But why does the world detest it so much, right? God says, come to me and I will forgive you of all your sin. And the world says, how dare you call me a sinner? Right? How dare you call me a sinner? Well, the Bible says we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Amen? Guess what? The well can't be saved because the well doesn't think they're sick. If you're sick, you need a doctor. But if you keep denying that you're sick, but you're sick, guess what's going to happen? You're going to die because you need a doctor. If you keep saying you're not a sinner, you don't need grace, but you do, guess what that changes? Nothing. You're still a sinner. And just because you don't believe that God is real doesn't make him not real. God says, I have made you male and female in the image of God. I have made them. And he blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. And guess what? It works. Amen. How do I know it works? Look around. Why does the world detest so much the reality that God has made us both male and female, and he has ordained that? I don't get it. I don't get it. Do you? I mean, what's so bad and evil about saying God has made it to where a man and a woman should be together and that's how it should be? I mean, what's so mean about that? What's so mean about that? How about this? When I when if I don't, if I want to have it my way, what's so bad about this? You follow Jesus, guess what? You won't be addicted to drugs. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? That's a good thing. You follow Jesus and believe in Jesus, guess what? Husbands, Christian husbands, if we love our wives like Christ loved the church, is that a good thing or a bad thing? What's so bad about that? Why do people detest the... I mean, we're not asking them to come and dine and eat some terrible food and poison. We're coming and asking people to come and eat at the table of God's grace, where you can feast on His mercy, where you can drink on His grace, where you can eat His forgiveness and mercy and love and kindness and compassion, and you can go back for a second helping of forgiveness, and you can eat of His strength and His power. That brings life, and not just life here, but life everlasting. Christians are the most compassionate people on the planet, because here's what a true Christian is. And here's really what evangelism is. It's one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. It's a bunch of poor, lame, crippled, blind, weak people out on the fringe and the hedges and the highway that has been saved by the grace of God, and we've experienced the goodness of God, and we've tasted the Lord's bread, and we said, it is good. It brings life. I'm tired of eating off the world's table. I've got a seat at the King's table. It's a food that blesses me, that gives me eternal life. Come, you're invited too. Come, you're invited too. You can too come and sit at the table of God's grace. That's the gospel. That's the good news of the gospel. We get to invite people to sit at His table. Now, you know, when we think about our table growing up as a kid, that big table, grandparents were sitting there, Mason's great-grandparents, aunts and uncles, and as a little kid, we're like, when am I going to sit at the big table? When am I going to sit at the big table? The sad reality is, as you get older, the way to get you a place at that table is that a lot of people you love, they die. And that opens up a seat. You know, there's a table in God's kingdom that's open, and there's a seat available. You know why? Because someone had to die. His name is Jesus. And He died on the cross for your sin, and He rose again to give you life. And everyone who will come and call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Would you come today? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, this morning, Your invitation to come and to sit at the table is open. You have made a way. You have provided good food, mercy, love, compassion, kindness, gentleness, grace, hope, strength, power. Lord, You've provided all of this good food, forgiveness, assurance of a home in heaven. And Lord, Your desire is that Your house be full. So our prayer today, God, is there someone here today that does not know You? They have never said yes to Your invitation. Lord, today I would urge them and compel them to say yes and accept Jesus as Lord, for it's in His name we do pray. Amen. Let's stand, let's sing, and let's respond.